Hey, it's Beyond the Pew. We're back.
We are back for another, with another, not four, with another great episode.
Yes, another episode, another week. We want to thank our viewing audience from all around the world.
All around the world.
That is listening today. And in case you don't know, we have a special guest with us today.
Very special guest.
And it's one of those things that you could give a long introduction. Yeah.
Some may say he's related to the rock band called Creed.
Some might say that. His name is Mr. Jim Creed. The man, the myth, the legend, as some would say.
All of the above.
All of the above that's here. And we're excited about our time together today. And so, Jim, well, let's start off by you just sharing who you are. What did you do for a living? Tell us about when you came to know Christ and your time at Maranatha.
Sure. First of all, I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah.
Guys, at my age, I'm glad to be anywhere.
Indeed, indeed. But
so that's perspective.
Yes, yeah, really it is. But anyways, I've been here at Maranatha since day one. When the church came together at Springfield High School, I was there. Mm. So just very thankful for our church family, what the Lord has built here. It's just been a real blessing in our lives. Mm. My wife, Midge, and I, been married for 50 years to the same woman and love her very much. So that's always a good thing.
So 50 years of marriage.
50 great years.
And we're almost at 30 years as a church that you've been here at Maranatha.
He's a founding father of Maranatha.
So he's one founding members that's been here, which is great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's praise the Lord. When did you come to know Christ, Jim? What's your testimony?
We got married in the mid-70s.
Okay.
And we should have, we got married. I figured that was going to fill up my life. And we had a son. And suddenly there were three miserable people because life still wasn't full. Mm-hmm. I met a man, a pastor, that invited me to church. And he just had this peace that I didn't have in my life. And he invited me to a Methodist church, of all things, and over in Kenmore, and I went, and it was really funny because, you know, a young married couple that had everything, upwardly mobile jobs and the whole thing, but our life still was really rough.
Yeah.
Went to church. It wasn't even – I can't even tell you what the message was, but God was working in my heart, and he's going – I'm talking to you. And I'm sitting going, not me.
You're like, you got the wrong number.
You got the wrong number. And when the service was over, he didn't even give an altar call. I went up in February 1978, went forward all by myself, knelt down, prayed, and I said, Lord, if you are who you say you are, I'll give my life to you. And that was the beginning. Hmm. And a year later, Midge, my wife, came to know Christ. Hey, have we always been on the right road? No. The early years, I call it my motocross years because I was off-road more than I was on-road. Hmm. But, you know, God is so faithful.
Yeah.
And praise God for that. I mean, you can see in our church the level of influence that you have and how you have impacted people. And just to see how through God's grace, you know, how many years ago that was, that, you know, he will save someone like you and then continue to use you in the way that he's been using you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and part of the reason we wanted to have you on today is, you know, you've had great success in the eyes of the world from someone that would look at your life. But also, and we would say more importantly, success as it relates to your impact for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're excited to ask some questions today. I think are going to be helpful for the viewing audience. But just because there's some folks who might not know you, tell us what you did for a living. What was your occupation?
Besides being part of the rock band.
The rock band Creed,
yeah,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was in a movie.
Apollo Creed.
Apollo Creed. That wasn't my brother. But,
yes.
But anyways, no, I was always very entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
I worked in industry, in the insurance industry for quite a while and bought houses and flipped houses before that was vogue. Then in 1990, I met an old man. He was 62 years old at the time, and he had invented a machine that leveled concrete. And when I saw it, I said, that's something that will sell. And I bought a piece of machinery from him, a leveling truck, and that was the beginning of A1 concrete leveling. Became friends with the old man, who was Grover Miller. A year later, one of my best friends, John Rasnick, said, "Have you ever thought about franchising this?" We became, and he was an attorney, so we became partners, equal partners, the three of us. Grover built it, John legalized it, and I sold it. And it was just an incredible, it's just became a nationwide concrete leveling company. And so I leveled concrete.
How many franchises did you have?
60.
60 franchises across the U.S.
Across the country. Wow. So it was just a, what a great, great, I loved it. I retired 2 years ago. My John passed away 4 years ago now with COVID. And I stayed around a couple of more years. His son has taken over the business, and I am completely retired, and I want you to know I have adapted well.
That's good. That's good. That's good. A lot of golf, maybe. And
I try to get golf, if that's what you call it. I try.
Jim, who wins you or Midge in the golf?
We don't want to go there.
I didn't think
my wife has beaten me like a drum for 50 years.
You guys are both very competitive, too.
Yes. I have the bruises to show it.
We wanted you to share a little bit of your story because there is a perspective that a lot of people have in the church, in the Christian circle, that you can't have success in the eyes of the world as it relates to business, as it relates to financial success, as it relates to business success, and at the same time, have success for the kingdom of God. That a lot of times those things are in opposition to one another.
That there has to be a compromise.
Yes.
It's of some level for you to be able to do one of the two.
Yes. And so you would be an example that we have seen of someone who has had both, and that's rare. And there's a statement that you always make. And I found this out very early on in our interactions. And whether you are sending a text message or an email message or just in our meetings together, you close out a meeting with someone, you close out your email, you close out your text message by a statement that you make at the end that says, "Walk worthy." Tell us what you mean by that. Why that statement, and how has that proven to be impactful?
Years ago, God laid on my heart Philippians 1:27, which says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Excuse me, I get emotional.
Yeah.
Because that is so important.
Yeah.
That whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. In the Greek, the word whatever means whatever.
That's a good point.
Are you following me? You want to write it down here?
That's a good point.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else, but that's pretty clear.
And so whether you're mad, sad, glad, or bad, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And we have to encourage one another to walk worthy, because that's the biggest problem in the church today is the hypocrisy that the world sees. We are living in a society where we look like the world, we talk like the world, we act like the world, and they see no difference. When you walk worthy, there will be a difference.
We have been given light, but instead we continue to choose to live in darkness.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's something that is so encouraging, because if you think about it, the more you think about it, the more you realize, like, there's so many variants in life that will cause us to hinder our walk, right? And yet, if we have the right perspective of the gospel, if we see the gospel for what it is, for who Jesus is and what he has done for us, like that alone is enough to make us want to walk worth it.
Yeah, right. And, you know, when Paul talks about, you know, when with the weak I became weak and strong, that I might win a few, I become everything to everyone. But that doesn't mean that we're in that sewer with them. We can be there, but not with them.
Yeah, not participating in the sin and activity.
Absolutely. With the dirty jokes, with the comments that they make. You can smile and nod. you can't jump in there and do it. There has to be a difference.
There should be
a
separation of conduct,
right,
and mentality. I think a lot of it goes back to identity and understanding our identity, right? So you've been someone who's been a successful businessman. You've had success. What would you say to someone who maybe is in a position where, hey, I'm working in the business world, or I'm working in just in a secular environment. I'm not in a ministry position. I want to honor God. I want to walk worthy. I want to be primarily identified with Christ. What would you say to them as maybe an encouragement, or what has worked for you in making sure that you're focused on that?
That's a great question. I always wanted to be known. We are identified normally in the workplace by what we do. You know, the world looks at us and says, you're a pastor. You know, you're an accountant, you're a lawyer, you're a whatever. I always, my goal was to be known as a Christian who levels concrete.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
But
how did you come about that? Like, what led you to that point?
It's just that that's what I want to be known for.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be known for my golf game. Trust me, I won't be. But
you don't have to worry.
But I always think it's so sad when someone dies, because we're all going to die. When someone passes away and they go, well, was he a Christian? Well, I think so. What a terrible, terrible testimony.
Yes. Yeah.
That I want to be known. I want my kids to know. I want my church to know. I want everybody to know that above all, that he walked worthy.
That above all, your identity is with Christ.
Absolutely.
I mean, this makes me think of, you know, when Jesus had shared, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth.
Absolutely.
Where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
Absolutely.
Where moth and rust do not break in and steal, right? And where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And so I think what you're sharing is a challenge that a lot of people face, and probably all of us are guilty at times of wrestling with this.
Oh, sure.
Placing not only our identity, but what we value more than anything else, not on the things of the world, but on things above.
Yeah.
And spiritual things.
Absolutely.
And that's a challenge for people today.
Because they get wrapped up in the world.
Absolutely.
And like I said earlier, that we are living in such a time when we can't say what they do.
Yeah.
Because what we do speaks so loud.
Yeah.
They can't hear what we say.
Yeah. 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 They see what we're doing.
And, yeah.
And I know for me personally, and I know even as a pastor, I have to be on guard against this because there can be a preoccupation in my own mind if I'm not careful with the things of the world rather than the things of God.
It's so easy to
get
off course.
And so we have to keep that focus. That's why I do appreciate when you say that walk worthy at the end of a text message. It's not like, it's not a sermon, right? You're not purposely seeking to preach a sermon, but in some ways it is, because you hear it and you're like, it sticks with you.
Yeah.
Walk worthy.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
I do think it's pretty interesting too. Like Jesus, right before he the journey of the cross started, you know, he's praying for his disciple, and his prayer to the Lord is like, you know, he says, do not keep them from the world. I'm not asking you to take them from the world, but to protect them. And then like what I really like what I really dawns on me is like what it says in John 17:20. It says, I do not ask for these only. So thinking of the 12, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So by implication, even us today, like by the work of the disciples in sharing, in faithfully sharing the gospel throughout the world, and how even us today, you know, 2020, what are you, 24? Also 25. I'm great with numbers. That we, you know, we could be in a place now that we can believe in Jesus because of their faithful work. And Jesus' prayer was for them and for us. Hey, Father, I'm not asking you to remove them of the world, because if we're removed, then who else would share?
Who's going to tell the story?
You know? And so, but to keep, to protect us as we go out in sharing, you know, and back to your identity, like you think of Galatians 2:20, it goes back to the gospels. For I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Right.
And so those two go together.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when we're walking worthy, I love what Peter says, 1 Peter 2:12. Mm-hmm. It says that live such good lives, walk worthy, live such good lives among the pagans, that even though they accuse you, your God is still glorified in your life. I love that because, you know, they'll stand there living for Christ. You will be pointed out, laughed at, harassed.
For sure.
Been there and done that.
That's been promised.
Yeah. And it happens, but you walk worthy through that. And even though they accuse you, they see the difference. We've got to see the difference that Christ makes in a life.
Absolutely.
And then when that happens, then in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Yeah. And always, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you stand apart from people and they see this difference, when they get in trouble, when it happens, and I've been involved in this numerous times in my short lifetime. But anyways, where people come and say they want to talk.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not in a crowd. Now they're calling you one-on-one and say, would you pray for me?
Yeah.
Because and then you can give them an answer for the hope that I have. And it goes with living for Christ.
Mm-hmm. And people notice that, right? Mm-hmm. We just did a series on Sunday morning called Vintage, and we looked at one of the stories with Daniel in the lion's den.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a statement that was made in Daniel that those that were accusing Daniel said, we will find no fault against him unless it's in regards to his God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, what an incredible testimony that is.
Yeah. He walked worthy.
He walked worthy. And people saw his life and thought, okay, unless we find something at fault against him because of his relationship with his God, we can't find anything.
Yeah.
And so that's the other thing I think that goes with the whole idea of walking worthy is not only that we are personally in our personal life honoring Christ and we're seeking to grow and represent him well, but also that we are above reproach in those other areas that people are watching us. Yeah. Like, so for example, work ethic and integrity in our work.
Absolutely.
That speaks volumes about us.
Everything.
Yeah.
Whatever happens.
What does whatever mean in the Greek?
Let me break this down for you. Hold on. You may want to take notes on this. It means whatever.
So
just before you move, I think like in Acts of Peter and John, like what's the testimony that they portray as they're being judged is that like these two men, they're not speaking with eloquent speech, but that they have been with Jesus.
Jesus.
Absolutely. You know, that, like what a crazy and powerful testimony.
Yes.
I love that because I have an accent. Men. English is not my first language. So that's what I want people to say. We don't understand
you have an
Eric.
Accent?
Nah. Depending on the day, you know, if I talk like this. But anyways. But nonetheless, the testimony that I want that regardless of anything, that to your point, that people can say, you look at Eric, you look at Bruce, you look at Jim, these are three men that have spent time with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I like is in 2 Corinthians 2:15, I put it there on my iPad, that for we are to God the aroma of Christ. And when you think about aroma, you know, we're not the smell, because a smell can be like Eric or aroma.
Grace,
when you walk into the house and your wife's cooking brownies or chocolate chip cookies,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, oh, you smell it, and I want some of that.
Sure.
The aroma, we are the aroma of Christ.
Yeah.
That when we come into a room, people should see the difference, smell the difference, and want more of that.
Yeah. And Ephesians 5 talks about that as well when Paul says, be imitators of God as dear children, walk in love.
Yes.
And he talks about that being a sweet smelling aroma or the presence before God that is reminding of Christ. Right.
Not a smell, an aroma.
Yeah.
Sweet, pleasing.
Yeah.
Something that makes others want it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, when I told you my history, that guy, that Pastor Kim, had this peace that I didn't have.
Yeah.
And that's attractive to the world.
Mm-hmm.
The world's looking for peace.
Yeah.
We have it, but they don't recognize it because we're not showing it.
Yeah.
And that aroma is pretty hard to be shown or to be shared with others. If you contain it, keep it but to yourself. If you're not engaging, if you're not interactive, like if you keep like a candle in a box, it's not going to smell good. You have to bring it out.
You have to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good. These are good points.
Yeah.
It also helps with a transition I wanted to make because I wanted to get here. You're an evangelist. You are gifted in evangelism. if people walk into Panera and we joke that you have an office in Panera, because you're always there meeting with people,
customer of the month,
ministering to people. But you're in some regards a walking miracle that you're with us. What God has done in your life, and even through some of the health things you've gone through, you shouldn't be here.
No doubt.
And here you are. For whatever reason, the Lord has you. You know, whenever I approach Jim, I ask Jim, how are you doing today? And he puts his hand on his neck and he'll go, still alive, or he says something along those lines.
And it's beating. It's going to be a good day.
And yes. But you have a tremendous heart for the time that God has given to you to share the gospel with people. And people get intimidated by sharing the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Christians are intimidated for a number of reasons. You are excellent at this. What would be some things that you do in your day-to-day that allows you to have opportunities to speak about Christ, to bless people, to evangelize, to point people to the Lord? What are some things you do that have allowed that?
That one of the easiest that, you know, I think back of you and I, when I go into a restaurant.
Yeah.
And 99% of the time, I will ask the waitress, I'm going to pray. We're going to pray before we eat. How can we pray for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honest to golly, the stories over the years, I mean, we got a great one.
Yes.
But the stories and the impact that it makes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll sit there and just give you a blank stare.
They're shocked.
You know, they're shocked because they have no idea. And it's not to get confrontational with them or anything. And I always have a line that I said, you know, if they are completely shocked and have no idea what to say, I said, you know, if you were blind, you could pray for world peace, you know, just to break the tension. But sometimes, I mean to tell you, they break down. They have never heard this.
Yeah. Yes.
And they want for somebody to care enough, the impact that it has on them. Now, the great thing for someone who's not a theologian, you don't have time to explain the gospel to them.
Mm-hmm.
But you are making an impact. You are planting. You are watering.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes we even get to harvest there. But just by asking, how can we pray for you, the impact that you will have on that server's day. And one more thing on that. When you ask to pray, don't be cheap. I mean, when I ask somebody to pray, I leave them a great tip. Mm-hmm. Not only do they say, this guy's a Christian, but he's generous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't insult them by leaving them a buck or whatever.
Yeah. Or a gospel tract.
A gospel tract.
Give you your tip
that
of the
looks
day.
Like money.
Yeah. But this is more for you in eternity, which is true. Yes. But, you know. but.
And I would just say to attest that it was probably, you and I started meeting probably 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been that long that like we got together shortly after I started at Maranatha.
Mm-hmm. That's a decade.
And more than, that's more than a decade. Yeah.
Wow.
It's like a decade and a half is what that is. And when we met, I remember you doing that where we were meeting. I don't remember where it was, but I remember you saying, hey, we're going to pray for our food. How can we pray for you? And I'm sitting there as like Pastor Bruce sitting in the booth thinking, I have never thought about doing that when I would sit down to eat. To ask the waiter or waitress, how can we pray for you today?
I had that same experience too. Like I had just brand new on staff and Jim wanted to get to know me as a new guy on staff. And he took me out to lunch and we sat down and here comes the waitress. And he goes, hey, we're about to eat. What can we pray for you? And I'm thinking to myself, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Well, like, what is he doing? Like, this is so awkward and uncomfortable. Yes. I'm like, please don't. Like, I'm embarrassed. Like,
I remember looking up thinking like, they're not going to share anything with you. And they did. Yeah. And we have an incredible story where
tell them the story.
We went to a place to eat. And while we were there, you know, Jim asked the waitress, how can we pray for you today? And she kind of broke down, like talking to us. And over the course of our meal, she kept going back in the back and bringing people to us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
At the table to pray with.
But wait, there's more.
She would be bringing people and she'd be like, you need to pray for her. And they'd come and we'd pray for them. And then another person, we'd pray for them.
We went to lunch and a prayer meeting broke out.
It was
exciting.
That's awesome. And it all started with just, we're going to pray for our food. How can we pray for you?
Yeah.
And that story goes on. to relationships.
To this day.
To this day. You know, he and I would frequent that place when we would go for lunch on purpose. We would go there for that purpose after that started. Mm-hmm. And every time we would walk in the door, there would be a number of people that would come over to our table to like give updates. Absolutely. And ask for prayer. And now I know at least one of those families, they're attending, you know, a church in the area. Yes. That's a Bible believing. Yes. Church, gospel preaching church. Mm-hmm. Very positive outcomes from that.
Absolutely.
An impact that
and
was
And it
was made.
So we didn't even have to share, you know, the gospel, nothing.
Yeah.
All we did was ask the question.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Caring and praying for people. It's a all demonstration of love.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I have found, and I'm sure you have as well, Eric, I've incorporated that into when I meet with people and praying with people. I do that now with my family, like when my girls are with me and Shoshana are with me as well. And the girls love it. Like they think it's the most awesome thing in the world when they see their dad ask the waitress or waiter, like, how can we pray for you today? And then they always like have a sensitivity to whatever the request was that they're like, I wonder, and they'll want to sometimes pray at night then for like over there. Yeah. But I've seen such impact in that. And I honestly don't believe I have ever been told no.
Yeah.
When I've asked someone how I can pray for you, some of it's light. Some of it's just pray I make a lot of money today. Some of it's I want a new car, but there's always something that they tell me and they always say thank you.
Yeah.
When I do that. But there's been tremendous impact in a lot of areas. But I think that's a practical, easy step.
Easy.
Yeah. It's low-hanging fruit.
Absolutely.
You don't have to worry about sharing, you know, deep theological truth. You're demonstrating the love of Christ. And a lot of times a question follows up with that, with why would you even do that?
Yeah, it's just so out of culture, you know, like who does that in our days today? Sure. And I would say this, like, so this happened a while back. And at first I thought it was weird, but then I saw the value of it, but I never incorporated it into my routine, you know, because of the role that we're in, we're constantly meeting with people at restaurants. And I never implemented it. And then last year, through a challenge that has been going through our staff to be more vocal in our sharing of our faith, it just dawned on me. It's like, why haven't I done this?
Sure.
You know, my excuse used to be, well, I'm not gifted in evangelism, so I'm going to leave that to someone like Jim to go ahead and save people. My job is just to equip and disciple, you know? But yet, something as simple as that, how of much of a testimony it is to those, to a world that is seeking for truth, you know?
They absolutely.
And the thing that I have found to be interesting is, like, to your point, is like, it's simple. It's just like, hey, what can I pray for you?
Sure.
Like, to think that, you know, one of the restaurants that I frequent, like, to think that I have had, for the most part, the same waitress for years now, and I didn't even know her name. Never bothered to know her name. Like, that's sad to me. And here I am as a pastor, you know, telling my the people within my ministry, hey, go share the gospel. You know, and the level of hypocrisy there. And I'm just being, you know, transparent now, but that's something as simple as that, the impact that it can have on others, you know.
And a lot of it goes back to our viewing our identity first in Christ, and whatever we're doing, walking in a worthy manner.
Yes.
Right. And so seeing with sensitivity and sensitive eyes, those that are hurting, those that are lost, those that are in need, and seeking to meet those needs as best as God has given us the ability to. So what would be your encouragement to people who maybe say, I don't know enough, I'm not eloquent enough, I'm not a pastor, when it comes to the sharing of the gospel? How would you encourage them?
That is a great question. This passage comes to mind that Paul's talking, and I take my glasses off so I can see. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, that's me, in fear, and with much trembling. I mean, it is scary when you lay that out there. You know, what are they going to ask me? I came to you in weakness, trembling, and fear.
Yeah.
What can I do? But God's going to give you. You got to trust that He's going to give you. with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest upon men's wisdom, but upon God's power. That he's, if you step out there, I promise you, I'm out there with fear and trembling to this day when you put it out there, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
But if you trust God, he's going to open doors that you never thought possible.
Yeah.
But what a great passage.
That is a almost like a shot of adrenaline to hear that when you come to the understanding, and Scripture talks about this, that God hasn't chosen, you know, the wise or the, you know, the most powerful, or he's chosen the weak, right? He's chosen the foolish, sometimes to shame the wise. There's not a respecter of persons with God.
Right. And well, that's what Eric said earlier about ordinary men who've been with Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But this is a great, great reminder, right, of Paul himself, like who we would look at and be like, it's Paul, you know, Paul would acknowledge. He was starting, and if you think about this, his testimony with the church was starting at a deficit.
Yeah. Sure.
Because he was a persecutor of the church.
Yeah.
They didn't even want to include him initially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were afraid.
Because of his past until God said, no, this is the guy that I'm going to use. So he was starting from a deficit. And that's when he talks about here, like, listen, I haven't come with all this eloquence about Christ, because he was at a deficit when he came to know Christ. Yeah. Even in the eyes of other Christians to begin with. And then God used
him. He had to win them.
It's incredible, like, to think about that. So that's a great encouragement, because, you know, anybody that is a follower of Jesus Christ, and maybe better stated, everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ has a responsibility to share the gospel.
Yeah. Absolutely. Can you imagine if our church, let's say 1,500 people, were out there asking waitresses, how can I pray for you?
Can you imagine that?
In caring, being
authentically.
Gentle. Authentically. Yes. And that's the thing. Ask when they say, pray for my kids, what's their names? How are they doing?
Yes.
To take time and ask how they're doing and care.
Yeah.
One time, and again, hundreds of stories, I went to a restaurant that I don't normally go to, asked the waiter to, you know, how can I pray? We had just a short conversation. It was just nothing. It was you know, we did pray for him. We always pray for him. But it had to be 6 or 8 months later, I went back to that restaurant. I didn't remember. The waiter comes up and, you prayed for me. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What an impact.
Well, I don't think people realize, believers in particular don't realize, that is not something people ever hear.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
People in our current culture and world are not familiar with authenticity of love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are longing for that, but they're not familiar with it. But that's why when Jesus said, this is how all men will know you are my disciples, it's by your love.
Yeah.
We'll be known by our love. And I think when we can show and demonstrate an authenticity of love for people, care for people, when we're walking worthy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When whatever we're doing, we're walking worthy, that cannot and it will not be ignored by a world that's watching, that's hurting, and that's lost. And so there needs to be just a willingness on the part of the believer to say, you know what? It's not about me. Mm-hmm. Like, my life is not about me. And even when you started talking about you wanted to be known as a Christian, beyond being a successful businessman or a concrete leveler franchise guru, beyond being the best salesperson or whatever it may be, you wanted to be known as a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's a starting point, right? For most people that have to be resolved to say, myself included, I want to be known more than anything else, primarily as a follower of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm identifying with. I'm a follower of Jesus.
Yeah. And you know, I was just thinking about this morning. Like, think about the level of commitment that Paul had to say to the readers, hey, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, like you, if I went to someone today and say, hey, imitate me, like, that's going to come up with pride or they're going to think that's arrogance. But the level of, like, confidence and genuineness that Paul had to know that, like, the way he's living his life, despite of the struggle. I mean, if you read in other instances, you see that he's pleading with God, like, God, remove this thing from me.
Yes.
And yet you, for him to be able to say, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Yes.
You know, there's a value there.
This, I imitate Christ. Don't follow me.
Yeah.
I am imitating Christ. Mm-hmm. And my life is good enough.
Yeah.
That you can imitate me. He walked worthy.
Yeah.
You know, and something else that came to mind when you were, you know, when we were talking about this whole thing is especially because it's such a easy thing to do with the waiter waitress type, but they are so used to hearing complaints.
Yes. Yes.
Hearing just
the groaning.
The whole thing. I was reminded of Philippians 2:14. Where it says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you might become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you will shine like stars.
Yeah.
The bar is so low.
Yes, yes.
So low
that
just by being just walking just a little bit worthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to shine like a star.
For sure.
Which is what we're
called
notice.
To do, right?
Yeah. People are going to notice.
I mean, Jesus
ask.
Said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so that's what our desire is that we would walk worthy for the glory of God and
Amen.
To point others to Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're in it together, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing I think is challenging in everything we've been talking about. And part of the reason we felt so valuable to have you on here was – there is this mentality mindset that unless I'm a pastor, unless I'm in a vocational ministry role, how's God going to really use me?
Or gifted and evangelism.
I mean, how's God going to use me? But, you know, we would commend you to say, you know, you have made an impact both with discipleship in men's lives, accountability in men's lives, but also with the gospel and evangelism mm-hmm. with those that are lost. And it's been super encouraging because there's a lot of things you could be focusing on right now in your life, but you're focused on those things. And so God's blessing that. I think he's challenging us. I mean, I know a number of our staff, we've talked about like when they meet with you, they're challenged mm-hmm. when they come back.
Yeah.
And so we just want to commend you and thank you for that. And thank you for the encouragement for people listening. And want to encourage people who are listening, look for the opportunities that God has put directly in your path.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be an example of Christ, to walk worthy and to share about Christ and to identify, your priority is identifying first as a follower of Jesus.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And as we get to the point of asking the final question, which we hope that you know what question we ask, that is a very practical thing to do throughout the week of, you know, as you go out to Chipotle or Applebee's, wherever you go for a meal, to ask the question to the waiter, just simple as that, hey, what can we pray for you?
Sure.
You know, be intentional with like to recognize that we have the
message. To be authentic.
Message. Yeah.
Be authentic.
And I think too with it, and I've seen this as well, it's not only an encouragement and kind of a shock sometimes to folks that maybe don't know Christ or aren't familiar with people praying for them, but for the believer, it's an inspiration and encouragement and challenge that they would see that happening to think, man, I should be doing that. Mm-hmm. When you pray for another believer, you're like, how can I pray for you? And like, you're asking me that? And are you a follower of Christ? So am I, but I never ask people that. Like, that's a challenge to the believer when we do that as well.
Yeah.
So, Jim, go ahead.
Something that for years has always bothered me.
Yeah.
When people are talking that we work in the same office, I never knew you were a believer.
Yes.
That makes me crazy.
Yeah.
How could you spend years or weeks or months? I want someone to know that there's a difference.
Yes.
In that first meeting by our actions. But when people say, well, I've known you for years. I never realized you were a Christian.
Yeah.
What a terrible, terrible testimony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It should be the desire to be known as a follower of Jesus.
You should be that aroma.
Yeah.
You should be that, there's something different about you.
Yeah. Those are good challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we end every podcast asking a question. Very few people that we've had on the podcast knows what the question is, Jim. Because a lot of people, even if they listen to the podcast, they don't listen to the final couple of seconds because they just end it. Do you have any idea what the question is that we ask our audience before we sign off every week?
No, I don't.
The question that we ask, and
you can pray the Holy Spirit, maybe pray to God, maybe He'll rebuild it to you.
This is the question that we ask. It goes right along with the podcast title. We ask people who are listening, what does your life look like beyond the pew? And so I think what we've talked about today is that challenge.
Uh-huh.
Outside of the walls of the church, not when you're just sitting in the pew on Sunday morning, what does your life look like beyond the pew?
I'm glad you asked that question.
Yeah.
Because you know what? It's much easier to act like a Christian than to react like a Christian. Mm. And if you walk worthy, that's how your life looks. And you will find it. If I fill this cup up with just this much coffee and fill the rest of it with water, when I shook it, water would come out.
Yeah.
But if I fill this cup up full of coffee and just put a little bit of water in the top, when I shook it, coffee would come out. Mm. So when we fill ourselves with the Word of God and we intentionally walk worthy, when we get rattled, shaken, abused, accused, this is what's going to fall out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In doing so, we'll glorify God.
Yeah.
Which is what we want people to do.
So, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your time today, Jim. Thanks for being here. Good challenge.
Great challenge.
It's been encouraging. We'll have you back sometime.
I feel honored to sit at a table with these two. Yeah. Now, you guys get paid for being good. I'm good for nothing.
Good for nothing.
Good for
nothing. That's a great way to end it, right?
So whatever being whatever.
Whatever, yes. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope you'll be back next week. And we'll see you then.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Thank you.